There's a story that I often turn to when I'm wrestling with something that's difficult, a difficult situation or a difficult decision. I often point people that I'm talking with who are going through something hard to this story as well. It's the story of Jacob by the Jabbok, which for some of us I know sounds a whole lot like Darmok and Jalal at Dinagra, but it's not. It's something completely different. And for those who don't get it, that's a Star Trek reference. This is a story about Jacob, the Jacob. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jacob. And at this point in his story, he's been in exile for many years and is returning home. He's done well for himself. He's been a success in virtually every way. But he's coming home tentatively because he's afraid of his brother. Now, Jacob and his brother Esau were twins. Esau was the older, Jacob was the younger, and they were always fighting. In fact, Rebekah had such a difficult pregnancy that she prayed to God to find out why it was so hard, and what she received back was that she had two children who were warring in her womb, just as they would fight for their entire lives. As I said, Esau came out first, but Jacob had hold of his foot, trying to pull him back. Now, I imagine that this next part of their story happened when they were in their late teens. It doesn't say that, but as you hear what happens, you may well agree with me. Esau sold his birthright to his brother Jacob. Now, a birthright was something that conveyed perks to the firstborn. The firstborn would inherit their father's estate. The firstborn would, if anything else was passed down through the generations, would get twice as much as everybody else. The firstborn was the head of household after the father. That's the birthright. And we're told that Esau came in from the fields one day and he was very hungry. And Jacob had been cooking a stew. And Esau said, "Come on, brother, give me some." And Jacob said, "Sure, if you give me your birthright." See why I think they're probably teenagers. So either Jacob's stew is really good or Esau was really hungry, but Esau sold his birthright to his younger brother. This is the beginning of them really not getting along. So a little later, when they're older, their father, Isaac, is dying, and he is prepared to give the firstborn blessing to Esau. So he sends Esau out to get ingredients to make a particular dish that he loved that Esau made. But Jacob sneakily made the same dish, threw on some of Esau's clothing, and went into the room and said, "I'm here, Father, for the blessing." And because Isaac was extremely old and because the story requires this, Isaac was confused and gave the blessing for the firstborn to the secondborn. And this blessing, we've been talking about blessings, you know, all month. And this blessing is the kind of blessing a lot of us probably associate with that word. It was like a magic spell. He said to whom he thought was his firstborn, "Basically, every good thing that could possibly happen in the world is going to happen to you, and your siblings are going to serve you." Having older brothers, I can appreciate wanting that. So Jacob goes out having received the blessing. Esau comes in. Isaac realizes what happens. Esau says, "Can't you just give me the blessing?" Jacob says, "No, I've already given it. But I still have a blessing, which is you will fight for everything you can possibly get, but someday you'll be able to throw your brother's yoke off your shoulders." That's what Esau got. And this is that kind of blessing that it's like a magic spell. It, once given, cannot be changed, and it will determine the rest of your life. That's not the way we're thinking about blessing, in case you didn't know. So Esau, who had sold his birthright to his brother Jacob and now is cheated out of the firstborn blessing, was a little put out. And he said, "Jacob, I'm going to kill you." So Jacob left. Jacob took off and was put himself in self-imposed exile for as long as he could stay away. But eventually, he had to come home. And so he was making his way back when we get to the story that I'm saying this is all leading to. And as I said, he was doing well by himself, so he had camels laden with all sorts of stuff, and he had servants and all the things that go along with great success in life. And fearing that his brother Esau was still really mad at him, he sent his stuff ahead of him, both so that Esau could see how well he had done and because he was giving a lot of it to Esau and hoped he was buying him off. And this leaves Jacob alone at the Jabbok. And we're told that all of a sudden a stranger appears and starts to wrestle with Jacob. And they wrestle and they wrestle and they wrestle all night long, neither one fully getting the advantage. It was a draw. And it was not at all clear that it was going to be anything but a draw. But as daybreak came, that stranger panics a little bit. And he touches Jacob in the hip. And suddenly Jacob's hip goes out. But even so, even with the pain of a dislocated hip, Jacob holds on, will not yield. And so this stranger says, "Please, you've got to let me go. The dawn is coming." And Jacob says, "I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not let you go until you bless me." And so the stranger, we are told, looks at Jacob and says, "From this point on, you are no longer Jacob. You are now Israel. For you have striven, you have fought with God and with humanity, and you have prevailed." Some translations say you have persevered. You are no longer who you were. You are now someone else. And that transition from Jacob to Israel not only changes Jacob's life, but it changes the whole world. For the whole people of Israel trace their history back to that moment. And we're told that at that moment, the stranger disappears. "I will not let you go until you bless me." See, that's the reason why I love this passage when I'm wrestling with something hard. It's why I recommend it to others. Because whatever it is we're wrestling with, it's awfully good advice to hold on until it blesses us. Until we find some meaning in that struggle, until we can see the gift that's in it, until we feel sure that something good is going to come out of it, until we can say that there is a blessing in what feels like a curse. Now, again, I'm not talking about the kind of blessing that's a magic spell that makes everything okay. In the first week of our talking about blessings, I said that a blessing is an affirmational gift. A gift because we can't earn it, and affirmational because at heart a blessing affirms our life, our chosen path, our skills, our relationship, affirms life itself. And so Jacob gets this affirmational gift. "You are no longer Jacob. You are now a new person. You are now Israel. For you have wrestled with God And not only did you survive, you thrived. And because you got to the other side of this, you are now different, more resolute, stronger, yet also more tender, more vulnerable. Jacob, we're told, limped for the rest of his life because of the pain in the hip that he received in that struggle. I will not let you go unless you bless me. Whatever it is that you are wrestling with. In just a moment, we're going to recognize and honor our graduating high school seniors. Some will choose to go through our bridging ceremony in which we ritually acknowledge their transition from youth to young adult. Of course, whether they go through the ceremony or not, whether they're even in this room or not, they are going to go through that transition from youth to young adulthood. There is no avoiding it. And although the symbolism we use is a bridge, I'm afraid there's no way to really avoid the river. We have to go through the river. And it's very likely, actually, it's inevitable that they will enter into one of these wrestling matches, because we all do. So what I want to say to them and what I want to say to all of us, really, is when you are wrestling and there is no clear victory in sight, hang on. When whatever it is you are wrestling with seems like it will overwhelm you, persevere. When you're exhausted from the struggle, don't let go, because. And this is not only the truth of this story, it is an affirmation of our Unitarian Universalist faith. Don't let go, because there is a blessing on the other side. And that blessing, once you get there, will not only change you, but it could change the world.